Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but doesn't know where to start. We're back in action for episode 189.
Nice.
And here we are. We watched a movie for the first time in a while.
Classic.
It was a movie episode. We watched, what's it called? Face of Another.
Yep.
1966, directed by Hiroshi Teshigahara. And we're going to talk about it. It's been a little bit since we've done just a movie episode.
True. Yeah, I don't remember what our last one was.
Because we did Starman.
Oh, yeah. God, that was a really long time ago.
And then we had a double feature after that.
So yeah,
that was the last one single normal movie episode.
But yeah, it feels like forever ago.
It's been a bit. This year, I was talking to a friend about this, how quickly this year, 2024, has gone by so far.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I really can't believe that it's May. That's so crazy.
Yeah, who decided that it was May? That it gets to be May already?
It wasn't me. I never agreed to this.
Me neither. Actually, I'm kind of okay with it.
Okay.
I didn't agree to it, but whatever. Take what you can get.
You know what? I'm actually cool with it.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about the movie in a moment. How has your week been?
Bad.
Bad? No.
Really bad.
We did have a quick, or like a... It hasn't been too long since our last episode. I feel like we've had some longer gaps here lately, but we're actually back in a reasonable amount of time this time. So
that's true. This has been dead week / finals week for me at school since we last spoke, which I thought that I would have an easier go of that this time around because I was only in one class myself and I just had to do a final presentation and that went really well. So at least there was that. But what's really been killing me these past week and a half is grading the finals of the undergrads that I TA for. Mm-hmm. I had 80 final papers to grade. Okay. And I did not procrastinate about doing them. I really started as soon as they were submitted. And yet still somehow it came down to the last day I had to do them, which was Sunday. And I woke up at 8 a.m. and immediately started grading and did not finish until 1 a.m. That is miserable, dude. It was such a horrible day. These papers just take so long to read and grade and they were so bad. So, but I get to the end of Sunday in the wee hours of the morning and I'm like, oh my God, it's finally over. Yay. And I go to bed and I'm like, Monday's going to be a much easier day, right? But I wake up and the grades were posted. The professor of the class reviewed them in the morning and then posted them. So when I woke up, it was to so many angry emails being really upset about their grades. And it just sucks. It's just so horrible to feel like a jerk. It really sucks. And I promise I was not being malicious. I'm really nice in the comments that I leave and I really am grading these so fairly, but I have to follow the rubric. Just the way it goes. I have to dock points. I have to give bad grades sometimes, but still it is just so miserable. And there's one student in particular that I unfortunately had to give a 0 to yesterday. Point paper. So all day yesterday was just going back and forth with them and the professor, trying to figure something out. And oh my God, it's just been so miserable. It just really sucks to feel like this and have this type of responsibility on other people's academic success. I hate this.
So
anyway, hopefully that's over. But now I do have to get back to my own shit. Finish by the end of the semester, which is still a handful of odds and ends that need to get wrapped up. So right after this, I'm going back to the office, keep working on my grind. But soon, I feel that a change is on the horizon because it's the Taurus new moon. I'm almost done with my stuff. So I'm really, really close. Okay. Better things are coming as of today.
Changes in the air.
It is. I feel it.
Yeah. It's tough because If you're like TAing for it, it's probably like a fairly big class, right?
Yeah, huge.
Like maybe like intro.
Yeah.
So it's the kids that are going to be not always super committed or super decided on the subject or whatever. That just sounds
totally
miserable, because I feel the same, or not the same, but like in my job too, it's the ones that are, well, I put it this way. It's a lot easier to grade something when you don't have to do too much.
Yeah. The easiest papers to grade are like the A+ papers. And it's just kind of funny that like the papers I have to spend the least amount of time on are the really good ones that probably like deserve more attention, because those students obviously care. Mm-hmm. And then like the ones that I have to give the most time and attention to are the ones that suck so bad. It's like, I don't know why you submitted this.
Yeah. I haven't been doing like grading for actual grades, but a lot of the kids are getting ready to take their like Cambridge exam, which is to get a certification in English. And so they've been doing like mock tests and practice speaking exams. And I've had to do the same thing of like agonizing over the rubric and trying to give them like the correct, like amount.
Right. Trying to squeeze in like an extra point, like anywhere possible.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you gotta give me something to work with here.
Seriously, it is miserable. I used to think when I went into grad school, I thought that teaching would be something that I would want to do like later in my career. And now I am not so sure. The stress is unbearable to me.
It's pretty crazy. I see that with like my dad too.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I'm sure.
Yeah. Should in I talk about
writer Mike? News? I am having a summer of learning new things, which I'm really excited about. And I've already kind of started that. So I took one knitting class in my neighborhood and now I know how to knit, and that's really fun. And I'm going to keep working on that. And I also did one session with a personal trainer who's a student at my school. So now I'm learning how to lift weights and I'm going to be strong.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about those two things. And I have more things that I'm learning on the horizon. Stay more tuned. Things. I'll tell
you. Awesome. That sounds like a good way to go about stuff. I'm going to have a summer of traveling.
That is so awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So hopefully it works out. This past week, I didn't have school pretty much the whole week. It was a 2-day week and then a long, long, long weekend. But I didn't plan ahead of time and I didn't really travel that much. I went on a day trip on like Saturday, but I found that you got to plan stuff super far ahead. So I just booked some trips because I'll have about a month off between when my school ends and when I head on back home. Mm-hmm. And so I have some plans for that, and I continued to make some plans. So I think things are going to pick up for me really quickly. Or really soon, as far as how much I'm doing.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about all your travels. That is so cool.
Yeah, it'll be super cool. I'm still waiting to hear back about my school, my grad school.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. I'll update here as soon as I hear back. But
good. We'll so you see. Haven't done your interview yet?
Haven't scheduled it yet. I'm waiting for them to schedule it with me. And
man, they're being slow.
Yeah, I kind of thought that they would have emailed me yesterday, because here later, all their correspondence has come on a Monday. I was kind of just expecting something yesterday, but no such luck.
Weird.
But that's all right.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get to it soon.
As far as like my school job, I'm doing less and less, somehow even less than I had been before, because they do all sorts of school trips. Half the teachers aren't there. The teachers are going on strike tomorrow, so I don't have to.
Oh man!
Except I'm just gonna go in to check, but they might not even need me at all. They don't really communicate these things. But I'm getting to sleep in a little bit more, so it's nice. But I have so much free time that I don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to do some stuff too. I bought a plant a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if I talked about that on the last episode, but
no.
So I bought a plant and I'm going to put it in a new pot sometime this week. I bought the stuff for that. I'm going to go get a haircut still haven't gotten a haircut while I've been here because I'm nervous that I won't be able to communicate properly. And it might end in disaster. But
true.
I don't know how bad it could be because my hair just grows super quickly anyways. So
yeah.
If it looks bad, it'll look bad for, I don't know, like a couple of weeks and then I'll get over it.
Totally.
But, so yeah, I scheduled that for tomorrow. The appointment is in. I'm committed to it. And
good job.
Yeah, I only have about a few weeks left of the school year and things are coming to a close. So now I got to start, I guess, prepping for whatever might come next, which I'm still not quite sure what that'll be yet, but we'll see.
So exciting.
But yeah, so hopefully it's a summer of travels and new discoveries of like places. So
sounds like it will be.
If I got to break the bank, so be it. I've saved up my money like pretty well. Like if I have to dip into the savings a little bit, I think it'll be worth it to go experience.
I would have to agree. I think travel is a great thing to spend your money on. Yeah. Money comes, money goes. Have fun.
You're only going to travel. You're only going to be 23 once.
So true.
And then you'll turn 24.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, 25.
And then you'll turn 25. That's crazy. Look, well, just kind of hearing about your experience, if I end up doing a master's program in Europe, I'm going to have a lot. I don't even know if they'll need me as a TA, if I'll do that sort of stuff. I don't know if that's a thing on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
So that sounds nice to me after hearing your experience.
Yeah, I would advise against it. You can avoid it. I've been a TA for a class before in this grad program where my main responsibility was like making curriculum and making like resources and stuff like that. And I loved that. Okay. I could do that forever. But grading is the most soul-sucking job ever. I hate it.
Turns you cynical.
Yeah, it does. It just feels awful.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll be all right.
So I checked the mailbag. Nothing new.
Bummer.
there was something that I thought about talking about in this little segment, but I forgot what it was already. Okay, so I think let's get into the movie then if I can't remember anything else. So for this episode, we wanted to watch something more... I don't know. You said it last time, like something more serious or something more.
I told you that I wanted to watch something that really made me think. And now I have reflections on saying that.
Okay. Yeah. I have some thoughts, but okay. So we watched Face of Another, directed by Hiroshi Teshigahara, Japanese director. And I think he did art of other sorts besides just filmmaking. This was written, and it was written by Kobo Abe from a book that he also wrote. Basically, Abe and Teshigahara worked together on his first three pictures. And two of those were based off of Abe's novels, including this one. This came out after the very well-regarded Women in the Dunes, which is another one. With that same partner, like the same kind of situation where it was adapted by Abe from his own book that came out 2 years before this one and was a really big deal. And this was kind of a follow-up to it.
I was looking through the letterbox for this movie earlier today, and it seemed like a handful of people who were giving it like less than stellar reviews were saying that it just didn't live up to that movie. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I've never even heard of that. But now I want to watch it.
I see. Yeah, both of these two have been on my list for quite a while. So before any points on the quality of the movie, I was not expecting to think this much watching this.
Yeah, totally.
And I was kind of deciding whether to watch it. This was on Saturday night or Sunday morning because we were originally planning to record on Sunday. And I was like, should I wait till the morning or watch it tonight? And I decided to watch it on Saturday night. And I kind of wish I waited till the next day. I feel like as a late night watch, this didn't quite wasn't the best idea, but
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I had to think a lot more than I was expecting with this. but what were your overall thoughts?
I also thought a lot and I was like, wow, that's just so funny because that's exactly what I asked for. It was so, it's almost like a be careful what you wish for situation. Like I was like, I want a movie that really makes me think. And then after this movie, I was like, oh my God, I didn't want to think that hard. And I think that what I'm realizing now too, is I really do like movies that make you think a lot, that like give you a lot to kind of chew on idea wise. Mm-hmm. But I also think that in can, like, it's not enough to be just thinking, like in combination with the thoughts, there needs to also be, I don't know, feelings or something. And with this movie, it did, like, it only made me think. Like I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel connected to any of these people. I didn't even feel like the shock or horror that I think you're supposed to at some of like the visuals. And I'm really not sure why, but watching this movie felt really akin to like reading a study. Like I was like, oh wow, yeah, that's interesting. That's thought provoking. And that was it. I don't know. Did you have a different experience?
I don't know if I felt like I did feel the same way. I don't know, like to that degree.
Yeah.
But I definitely had the same thought of being there, like wishing I felt more connected to what was going on, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I kind of agree that it felt a lot like, I don't know about maybe reading a study specifically, but like reading instead of watching a movie. Like it was really interesting. I think that the way that it ended, the ending had me fill in some things, but I think I wouldn't say that I felt nothing, but there was, I was surprised by how little, I felt. Yeah. That's a good way to put it, but I did pretty much feel the same way.
I agree. I take that back. I didn't feel nothing, especially at the end. I felt anger actually.
Yeah, I guess that's,
but not like at the movie, at the character, I guess, like anger that I think you're supposed to feel. Like it wasn't like anger that I watched this movie.
Like, this is stupid. Yeah. That's how I felt after watching Saltburn. A bit of a throwback, because someone asked me about it. I met someone and they asked me what I thought about Saltburn, and I said, you probably don't want to hear what I thought about
that's Saltburn. That's so funny.
It seemed that they liked it, but I don't know why I hated that movie so much. Like it.
I think that you watched it at like the time when it had gotten way too overhyped, and then to like, I don't know, experience that type of disappointment. It is painful.
Mm.
It feels personal.
It was personal. That's funny. So Face of Another basically follows a guy who has a badly deformed face as a result of like some accident. A workplace accident, it seems. I don't know if that was ever like clarified, but yeah.
I think, it was like an explosion because he's an engineer or something like that.
So he has, we get to the beginning follows his life kind of living with this condition and how he feels about it and how it like affects kind of his, day-to-day life. As far as how it actually, well, how other people perceive him, and then how he also perceives other people perceiving him. And then it basically follows kind of this, I don't know if it's, you would call it an experiment, but this idea that he works out with a psychiatrist. I don't know what his title was exactly. It was, and I'm curious what you have to say about this, because I don't know if that's what y'all are doing out there.
That's exactly what I do.
Basically, he has this advanced mask that lets him, you know, appear as if he, that's his actual face. And then as he begins to try it out, we see how his life changes and how it affects him in his day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty fair.
I think so too.
That doesn't miss out on anything too much.
Yeah, no, the plot is pretty simple. It's just then all the things that it asks you to ponder. Yeah. Pretty complicated.
There are like some other like random things that aren't directly related to, but like fit in thematically. We follow another young lady who has just a scar on her face and how she goes about, or just certain scenes from her life as well that are, honestly, that those had me feeling more than anything in the main
me too
storyline.
I agree with that. I felt for her a lot more than the main dude, which I think really says something. Like, that's just yet another thing that made me be like, and what does that mean? That I care about this beautiful young girl more than this man who is like more significantly disfigured. And the girl we see less of, we get to know her less. We don't see nearly as much of like her own resentment as we do see the man's. So I'm like, do I feel more compassion for her because I'm not hearing her bitterness? Like, even though it would be so justified, like, am I not extending enough empathy to the main character? Or do I feel so much for her just because she's beautiful still? Like, is there something about that that's making me like her better? Like, it really made me think about my own like biases, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think was its purpose.
And it was interesting too how she would like favor, and like you get the side profile of the left side of her face.
Yeah,
she looks completely normal, I guess. So it's funny. Well, the way that you talk about like bitterness, I think that stood out to me as far as like it annoyed me at first about how like this guy was just kind of being so like direct and hostile about what he was perceiving and like how he felt that people were treating him differently, maybe.
Right.
And I had to, I don't know, like kind of catch myself or check myself about that, because I was like, a lot of it's probably valid. I was just kind of like annoyed at him for bringing it up all the time.
I felt the same. And like that character is just such a jerk. Like he just
really is.
It's worse throughout the movie in major, major ways. But from the, from the get go, I'm like, God, the way that you're just shutting down your wife, who is like trying to help you through this, and the way that you're really closing yourself off from any sort of like healthy way of working through this is so infuriating to watch. But I had the same thought process that was like, that is so unfair. Like, this really is a crazy thing to have to go through. I'd probably be really upset too. I don't think I would want to hear any sort of advice. I don't really know, but the irritation, it was there nonetheless.
It's kind of funny how I feel like we had the same experience watching this movie.
Yeah, we really did.
we're on the same wavelength oftentimes.
Yeah.
But I think what kind of made me turn the corner on that is that these doubled scenes that came up, the one that comes to mind most clearly is when each time that he goes and rents the room at the apartment. Because that is like the same scene just played out, you know, one and then the other, which I think was brilliantly done. Because the first time you watch it, you're like, that's like, I think some of my experience watching this also was thinking about how, if it's a bigger thing in Japanese culture, or if he would have the same experience, well, also like of the 60s as well, like, in Japan instead of the United States, or like Western, I guess. And then also the time, because I think we're a lot more used to seeing funny looking people today. True. for different reasons, you know, or like in different ways. But
I know that, well, I shouldn't say I know, because I don't. I feel like I've heard that there is kind of a lot of, I don't know what the proper word is, like mythology or something in Japan around faces and like the significance of a face. There's like a lot of historic and like cultural value on that. Like, I know, I love Avatar: The Last Airbender, and like I've seen a couple times. Well, actually, now that I'm saying that out loud, I have no idea if that show is like inspired by Japan.
I think it's more Chinese influenced than Avatar, but.
And the reason that I brought that up is because sometimes I see that show, people talk about that show and say like, there's this old legend that the face that you have in this life is the face of the person you loved the most in the life before. And that kind of comes up a couple times in Avatar. And I truly have no idea if that's something that was like believed in Japan. But I don't know. I was just thinking about the sort of like, I don't, almost like more spiritual beliefs around faces and like the depth of a face while watching this movie. And I do feel like maybe that's something that means more in Japan than it does here, but I don't really know.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And I think that part of the movie is kind of, is like that it's dealing with kind of both aspects of it, of like this concept of a face as far as like your, the window to your soul, or there is some line that was similar to that they were talking about. And then also just kind of like your, like the, maybe the window to the deeper soul. And then also just like your means of expression in everyday encounters.
Totally. Totally.
But I think that like the doubled scenes or the scene, we get a lot of repeated, I think the one where he rents the room is, it might be the only one that's like shot for shot, beat for beat the same, but we get, we see a lot of the same locations once while he's has his face bandaged and one when he has the face of another. And I think that that really kind of is the, at least for me, it was how I was able to like get involved with the movie. Like, that helped me kind of see the points that maybe I was overlooking or ignoring, I guess, beforehand.
Totally.
Yeah. I think as far as the filmmaking of this movie goes, the cinematography is insane. And the production design of like the office of the doctor was crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Some of my favorite scenes were just in the doctor's office. Just, I love like kind of a eerie doctor's office.
They don't get much more eerie than this one.
I know. I agree.
Or just like, there is so much like inconsistency of like space. At one point, the door opens behind him and there's just, it's just like a superimposed image of like, I don't know, like a beach somewhere. Like, what was that all about? Or,
I don't know.
Well, I'm curious about your thoughts of like how the psychology works. Because basically the guy starts off like, here's a prosthetic of a hand. Like, this finger is not a real finger. Like, this isn't a real hand. It's like, I help people fill the gaps in their soul or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole line about like filling in the gaps that are made by an inferiority complex. I was like, that's an interesting way to describe like therapy or the therapeutic practice. I don't know that I agree or disagree. I just never like really would have put it like that myself. Like, I don't know. I think in general, a lot of people come into therapy with this idea that like something needs to be fixed, or like something's wrong with them. There's holes in them that need to be filled, or something's broken that needs to be repaired. And in general, I would say therapists try and stray away from that line of thinking. Like,
okay,
being a complicated human being is like to be kind of unbreakable in a sort of sense. Or like a lot of therapists, I think would all agree that like, okay, you view your clients as like redeemable people who have made a mistake, maybe, like if that's what they're coming in to talk about, which is obviously not what like all of therapy is. But you would never say like, oh yeah, you're broken. You're missing something, and this thing about you needs to be fixed or changed. Like, that is just, I would say acceptance is more the goal of therapy, and using that type of language doesn't really get there. So I thought that was sort of a weird thing to say. And then in general, also, therapists are not making like hyper realistic walls. But yeah, I think,
figured as much.
Yeah. I think what was intriguing me the most about like the therapist sort of journey through this, or the psychiatrist journey through this whole thing, was that he was operating this like it was an experiment, but very much not with any sort of like ethical experiment guidelines. This was not approved by an IRB, I'll tell you that much. Just sort of for his own like personal gain. Like that's, I don't know. That's interesting to me. And then also the remorse that he started showing as things were going on. And I think it's interesting that like through his character and through the way that he's regretting this, you as a viewer are starting to get this sense that the movie's kind of saying that if a person is able to be anonymous or like not be attached to a traceable identity, that their morality is gone. Like that's kind of what happens to this character. That's kind of what the therapist is seeing. And that is crazy to me. I don't think that's true. I think that that's kind of a crazy thing to try and say. Like, I don't, but I don't know. Like if you
only really one way to find out, time to put on an experiment.
I got to start making masks. I'm going to pitch that in school. But like, I'm like, if I could be anonymous, if I put on a hyper realistic face and go live a different life, I wouldn't just start committing crimes and like killing people. Like that's where this movie ultimately goes. And I'm like, so I don't know. It just sends you down such a crazy line of thinking about your own person and what it means to like have a personality and a sense of self. But I'm like, truly, if I could just take on a different identity today and do shit with it and then take it off and be myself again and no one would ever know, what would I do? Because it is definitely not this. And it's like, how many people would actually do this? Like, why is that the path he took? Is it trying to say something about like humanity at large, or is it trying to say something about this guy who was already bitter, like already kind of spiteful and cold? I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, we never see the guy doing anything nice or good.
No, we never do.
I'm realizing that now.
Yeah.
The nurse that was at the place, the office, was the woman in the dunes from The Woman in the Dunes. So,
oh, cool. Like, the woman in the dunes.
Yeah. So I think she was like recognizable from that. And I think this is another like auteur feature of like using a lot of the same actors.
Cool. I like that.
In various movies. Yeah.
I actually do really like it when directors do that, when they have kind of favorites and it seems like they're really comfortable with making them like try new things and stuff. I think that's cool to see.
Yeah. There was like this weird interplay between like, oh, no one will be able to know who you are. But then we also see with the girl at the apartment complex and also his wife saw through this kind of ruse. And the way that it was kind of, you know, discussed was like, oh, you'll be completely anonymous. Like no one will know who you are. But I think that in showing that like these people still recognized him, there was a lot of sense that it didn't like certain things are just completely tied to you that no matter what are like part of you. So I thought that was an interesting point to make.
I really like that as well. Like that, this idea that like there is a self within, like no matter what you do, that is recognizable to some people in this world, maybe not to everybody, but to some. And then like, I really liked that line where he and his wife have that kind of like blow up moment. And she's like, in love, a lot of people try and unmask each other. And I think for us, we have to keep the masks on. And I was like, what? Yeah. Crazy. What compelled her to say that? That's so interesting.
There's a lot of cold lines in this.
I know. Yeah.
There's a lot of cold shots in this one too. My next point about like how badass this guy looks with the face bandages. It reminded me of the Invisible Man.
Me too.
Which also reminded me of the I remember I talked about it in a wrap up. Like I wish that the Invisible Man was about a guy who was just like an anti-hero instead of completely evil.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way about this one, even though this was definitely less pulpy than The Invisible Man. It was kind of the same idea of like, how would this concept be different with a more maybe like magnanimous lead, like main character? which is something that I also thought about when I watched The Invisible Man. So I don't know.
That's so fun. Have you ever seen the horror movie Goodnight Mommy?
No, huh?
It's foreign, but I can't remember where it's from. But similarly, it follows this mother who, before like the movie starts, she got into some sort of horrible accident, and now she's in her home with bandages all over her face. And the movie only has like three people in it. Like, you only ever see her and her two sons, and the dynamic between them that has gotten so bizarre since this accident. And the whole movie is just you questioning, like, is the person under the bandages actually their mom? Mm-hmm. Or is there something else going on? And the twist of it is really kind of crazy. It really surprised me, but anyway,
okay, I'll look into movies it.
Where it's like, what is going on behind the bandages?
Yeah. So I actually also originally picked this movie, or thought it was, I when I mentioned it last week to maybe watch it, I thought it was a horror movie. And that's because I've seen it grouped with a French movie from 1960 called Eyes Without a Face that I really liked. That was kind of a similar concept. Basically, there was an accident and this girl is believed to be dead, and she kind of doesn't have a face. She wears a little mask that covers it up. But basically, her dad is a mad scientist who kidnaps people and tries to cut off their faces and put them on his daughter.
Wow.
And it's really, I would recommend that one as well.
That made me think about Avatar again. There's this really awesome episode of Avatar, The Last Airbender, like truly maybe the most memorable to me, where they go into this like secret sunken library in the middle of the desert and they meet a spirit.
Oh, with the owl.
Yes, the owl spirit.
I remember this one. Yeah.
And he steals people's faces. That's his whole thing. And if you're going to talk to him and learn things from him, which he holds a lot of wisdom, so a lot of people want to talk to him and learn things from him, but you have to remain completely expressionless or else he'll snatch your face, and he keeps them off. And I don't really know what that's about. But it's so, I don't know, it's so cool. So interesting.
I gotcha. This poster goes so hard also.
It does. That's scary.
But yeah, so I thought this would be a little more on those lines because I've heard them grouped together a lot. Okay. So this one definitely takes, once again, a less kind of pulpy route. we're going to very cerebral with this one.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of the same themes apply, and I feel like this one on its own kind of doesn't work as well as it does as like I shouldn't say a supplement, because I think this actually does hold up well as a movie. Mm-hmm. But the topics and issues brought up in this, I think, add a lot to these other movies and other episodes of shows and stuff that deal with similar concepts, because it gives you so much to think and chew on, that when you do see these other things, you can be like, oh, this, you can apply this with the themes from Face of Another.
Interesting.
That's how I feel. And I'm curious to like maybe watch Eyes Without a Face again, or
yeah, I kind of want to watch it too,
like revisit other stuff that's kind of dealing with the same thing and being like, I wonder.
I agree.
But I think also in this one, it does do a lot as a movie. And I think that because the like emotional connection to the plot, I think, is missing through a lot of it, it kind of undersells how like well put together it is as far as like its filmmaking, like its coverage and its, you know, like the repetition of scenes. I think is like a lot of this is like very, very masterfully done. But I think that because it, at some points it's missing this kind of like, I care specifically about what happens to these characters.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of that kind of, at least for me, went a little bit over my head or under the radar.
I see. And I agree.
So I didn't rate this when I watched it, and I don't know if I...
No, I haven't either.
I was kind of hoping that maybe I would come up with a rating, and maybe I still will. But I found it very hard to kind of, you know, think of in that way, because I think so much of it is... I think it's a unique experience watching it,
Yeah, totally.
And also, like, I don't know how to evaluate it because it's not the same thing of where it's like a movie that you're like, oh, that was like technically very nice, but it's not there because it does get you thinking so much. It's not like completely.
Yeah.
But it's not quite an appreciated but didn't like it. But it's not also not quite like I was so invested in what was going to happen next.
Yeah, totally.
It's really maybe a little bit paradoxical. Right?
I agree. It is really so unique. I'm really glad we watched it. Like, I don't know. It was such an interesting experience, but it's not like a new favorite of mine. I wouldn't be like, oh, I love that movie. Because I don't feel like emotionally invested in it, but it intrigued me quite a bit.
It's interesting. The last scene, I think, goes so crazy where they're just walking through the people with the masks.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. Oh, that was really cool.
I was worried that I wouldn't have anything to say about this one because it kind of like, I don't know. it was a little bit overwhelming when I watched it, but I feel like
I felt that way too.
I did have some stuff to say. Yeah, I brought up the nurse earlier because there's some like weirdness between her and the doctor as far as like she's always mentioning his wife and like they think they kiss once, but it's like not emphasized. It's just like the beginning of a shot that she's like going away or something. It's like, interesting.
Yeah, that was an interesting way to film that.
So there's lots of like other stuff going on that's not quite always related to the main plot. Like it wasn't that I was bored watching this either. Like I was, you know, locked in the whole time.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, a very interesting experience.
I agree.
I don't know what else to add.
I don't know, that might be it. Just really makes you think about what is the self? What is self-perception?
Yeah.
That's kind of a lot. It's kind of
pretty,
a huge
pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. I think after thinking about it, I'll give this probably an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was leaning towards too.
I really want to see Woman in the Dunes now. It's a lot long, maybe not a lot longer, but it's like a solid like 2.5 hours, I think.
I'm really interested about like what made that movie more meaningful to a lot of the people on Letterboxd.
And it was a bigger success when it came out as well. It might have won like the Palme d'Or at Cannes. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Might need to do some fact checking on that one. But it was a guy at Barnes & Noble, the checkout guy at Barnes & Noble recommended Kobo Abe to me when I was buying like Murakami books or something.
Oh, cool.
I think.
Very
and
cool.
I said, oh, that's cool. I'll have to check it out. And I have not, but I've been on the lookout. I just haven't found his books at the places I've been, so.
Nice.
I'm really kind of fascinated, I guess, with this idea of someone working on the movie based on their own source material. I've talked about this a lot with like Katsuhiro Otomo and Akira, and as well as Miyazaki and Nausicaa.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also interesting when a writer of the book adapts it for the screen. Better in some places than others, because I did not like The Devil All the Time at all.
Oh, true. Me neither.
We had a whole episode about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really interesting.
But yeah, I don't know. 8 out of 10, I would hesitantly recommend it. I think you need to know what you're getting into with this one, because
I feel the same way.
It turned out to probably not be an ideal Saturday night watch.
No, it was not something ideal to watch either while I was in the midst of like an already kind of bad week that was using a lot of my brain power. So you have to really decide to commit to thinking a lot if you want to watch this movie. That's the mood you have to be in. Mm-hmm. But it really is cool. Really is intriguing.
Yeah. And I think it's hard to deny how like well executed it is, like, well, like, yeah, well made, yeah, it is too. So
yeah, I agree.
Because I feel like if it wasn't as well done as that, I would just be pissed off by the end of, yeah, it, being like, because I watched it that Saturday night instead of the next morning.
Totally.
Yeah. Cool. So that's The Face of Another. Or no, just Face of Another. I keep putting the in there. So what do you think about another movie for next time around?
Yeah, it works for me.
I was thinking about something lighter, but I'm not quite sure what.
Yeah, it'd be great to watch something lighter.
I was scrolling through my watch list, and I feel like most of the titles on there aren't usually the lighter ones.
So much of my watch list is stuff that you recommend to me, so I don't know.
So there's a movie that I've been hearing a lot about lately, all of a sudden, called What a Way to Go.
Okay.
Basically, they put it on Criterion as part of their Shirley MacLaine collection. It's a comedy from the 60s about a woman who is widowed four times and tells about all of her four marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was kind of, wasn't a hit when it first came out, but I'm hearing a lot about, there's a, like, an account that I follow on Instagram that did a whole post about it. But they got a star-studded cast. Shirley MacLaine is so cool. She just turned 90.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's why they did the whole Criterion thing, because she's been, you know, doing movies for forever. And From the Apartment, you know, Shirley MacLaine.
I'm down to watch that. Sounds fun to me.
Yeah, could be cool. It's a star-studded cast. I don't know if I said that already. All the husbands are people that I know. So that was a thought.
Okay. Yeah,
I had never heard of it, and now I'm seeing it everywhere. And it seems like everybody, all like the people that I follow on social media that are like movie people, are
just, yeah,
happen to be watching it.
So weird. Yeah, let's join the party.
Yeah, might as well, huh? Jump on the trend.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good. And then I did want to say that I have an idea for what we could do for episode 200, which is 11 episodes away now.
Okay.
So when we did 100, we did like a whole, like a 3-episode special, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we did a Q&A, which I think 199 can also be a Q&A. And then for our episode 100, we did a tier list of every movie that we'd watch for the pod. I think for 200, since I'm, for whatever reason, kind of obsessed with decades lately, I think we could go down and pick the best movie, decide what the best movie we watched for the pod for each decade.
Okay.
Because I think that we built up enough. We have at least one from like the 20s forward.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds great.
So I think that could be cool to kind of, you know, look back.
I think so too. Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah. And then for 201, we watched Casablanca.
Finally.
Finally. I think that would be hilarious. Like, that would be like a great kind of.
I agree.
Finally, I really agree. 200 episodes in, 201 episodes in.
We watched ultimate classic Casablanca.
Just because we mentioned it. Something about like reminded me of Casablanca, and I was like, man, Addie still hasn't seen it.
I know.
I bring it up so often too.
Like, I know. Yeah, I love that plan. I think that's perfect.
So I think that would be a cool episode 200 little special.
Agree.
So awesome. Sounds good. Cool. Anyone listening, the cat is making another guest appearance.
Yeah, she's being a big baby. This is their lunchtime, so she always starts freaking out when I'm on the laptop when I should be feeding her lunch.
I see. We had a mailbag from one of our mailbags.
Oh, yeah.
The cat, it should make another guest appearance. So I'm going to bring it up every time she shows up. Nice. Just so that you know. Okay, cool. So yeah, next week we're going to watch What a Way to Go, another movie from the 60s.
Nice. I'm excited.
With Shirley MacLaine. Happy birthday, Shirley.
Happy birthday, Shirley.
And Yeah, our book that we're reading is Dubliners by James Joyce. I started it a couple days ago. I read the first story.
Nice. I haven't started it yet, but I did get it in the mail.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah, so we can probably do that like at the beginning of June.
Yeah.
June. Yeah. It's already May. That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
It just hit me again how late in the year it is already.
Yeah.
Cool. So all that is left to do for this time around is to recommend an album. Do you have an album for this week?
This time around, I am going to recommend the new Black Keys album.
Nice.
I am predictable. It's called Ohio Players, and it's really good, but I have nothing negative to say about this album, truly, which is why I'm recommending it. It's fun. I just have such a strange relationship with the Black Keys right now because they've been my favorite band for so long, and like Brothers and El Camino and Turn Blue and even like a lot of their earlier stuff too. It's like truly some of my favorite music that has ever been made in at all time. Oh, look, my other cat.
Whoa.
Got a double cat. Best cat's appearance today. And it's just now like it really kind of feels like they almost feel like they had reached their peak and now everything that they put out is just kind of for them and just sort of fun. And it's not necessarily like pushing any sort of boundaries, and it doesn't have to. And it's very evident that they don't care. They just want to make what they want to make. And I love that for them. And I love that, like, we live in a world where they're just going to keep putting it out. It seems like they just don't care. And I really like that. Like, I guess the alternative is they make the music they want to make and then they don't put it out because they care about what people would think. And that would make me sad. But yeah. So I'm glad they're still putting it out. However, every time a new album comes out from them, it does make me be like, I wish that you would kind of like push some boundaries again. Like, I wish that you would sort of experiment with new sounds the way that you did, especially with Brothers. And they just don't. But it also just feels like not fair to ask that of them. Yeah. Because they're like dads now. They're just chilling. And like they've totally earned that right. Like they have a crazy, really awesome discography. So I don't know. I have some kind of mixed feelings about it. Nonetheless, I do really like the album. Like, it's good. It's a really solid Black Keys album because the Black Keys are a great band. And they just like have this sound down to a science. And I respect that.
Nice. Yeah, I was a little, I mean, I listened through it just once and I went maybe a little underwhelmed or.
Yeah.
That's all right. I also have certain bands where it's like some of their earlier stuff. Actually, you know what? My album is kind of like that.
Okay.
This is one that I've probably recommended like three times already, but it's right now is the perfect time to listen to it. It's Being So Normal by Peach Pit.
Yeah, I love that album.
Yeah, I know I've recommended on here probably at least twice.
I think I have
the third or the fourth time.
I've recommended it once as well.
It's just a classic. I love this album to pieces, but I think right now is a perfect time to listen to it.
Agreed.
It's that spring into summer kind of deal, which I think that this kind of just like encapsulates so well.
Totally.
But later Peach, and it's a little bit different because I was, besides this specific album, I was never like a diehard Peach Pit fan, but ever since this one, I didn't feel as crazy about their other stuff. And I have other bands that used to be like, I'm, you know, obsessively listening to everything they put out. I think Gorillaz is the big one where it's like one of my favorite bands. I'll always hold that a lot. But at a certain point, it just stopped being such a like monumental occasion when they put out new music. And it's just an interesting thing. I feel like, at least for me, as part of growing up, not, I shouldn't say I'm outgrowing these bands, right? But it's like before, these were like the first cool bands I listened to. Like Gorillaz were probably the first like good band that I like really, really liked. And so now it's like, wow, I've been listening to good music for such a long time now that.
Yeah. That's totally how I feel about the Black Keys too. They were my first ever like favorite band.
Yeah. It's just kind of crazy. I feel like I'm getting old. I'm sure this is how all the millennials feel.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Like, I feel like anytime I go to, this has been a while since I've been in the States, but anytime I talk to some dude in their 30s at a bar, they're talking about like bands.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's who I'm turning into, maybe, but that's all right. And on that note,
it had to happen.
On that note, that's going to be it for this week. Go check out Face of Another.
Yeah.
Go check out Eyes Without a Face also. That's for you too. I think you should. I think you'd like it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I would too. I should check it out.
And I'll watch Good Night, Mommy. Is that what it is?
Yeah, dude, it's scary.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, yeah, let us know in the mailbag any thoughts about anything that we've talked about. Interact with us. It'll be cool, I promise.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that'll be in the episode description. And yeah, we'll see you next time around for What a Way to Go.
Nice. I'm excited. Yeah.
So thanks for listening, one and all. Do great things this week. We both believe in you. And have a good one.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye now.